étudiants qui, nous l'espérons, seront de la relève bientôt, dans quelques années. Alors, la façon dont nous allons procéder, chaque étudiant ou enfin chaque groupe aura 10 minutes de présentation plus 5 minutes de questions. Donc, 10 minutes for the presentation and 5 minutes then for questions or comments. But for the first question or comments, I will give the floor to a person who has been already designated to the presentation of each student. Okay? So we invite you to share your reactions or to make comments or ask questions to the student during the day or to go on the website to do it. You are, vous êtes les bienvenus donc de faire des commentaires, poser des questions durant la journée, durant les 5 minutes s'il reste du temps, et aussi aller sur le site de notre organisation pour le faire. Alors, our first presenters are Matthew McManus and David Chrysatis. Sorry.
Say this close enough.
Sorry.
It's okay.
And I'll give you the floor.
Thank you. So it's a pleasure to be here with my supervisor, Dr. Jacobs, who many of you know. Our research was based on a survey conducted by the Canadian Forum on Civil Justice. And hopefully our presentation will be brief, and we can give you a bit of a snippet of some of the findings that we're currently plowing through. So the study was primarily oriented around the research of Dr. Jacobs and Trevor Farrow. It has been the first of its kind conducted since 2008. And it is designed to measure the multidimensional costs of unresolved everyday legal problems. And it looks at the who and what of consumer problems specifically in our presentation, and how experiencing a legal problem prompted by consumer choices is related to one's attitudes around the justice system as a whole.
So hi, everybody. My name is David Chrysatis. My supervisor is also Les Jacobs. And I'm a recent graduate of the social legal program at York. I'm just going to get right into this. So the methodology for this project, the ISR did a national telephone survey of 3,264 Canadians, 18 years old and older, excluding the territories. Respondents were asked if they had any experience if they had experienced a problem from a list of 84 problems. And the problems that... Oh, sorry. Okay, good. Yeah, and if I'm speaking too low, please remind me. I have a bit of a... Yeah, okay, sorry. So there was 84 problems in the scenario. There's 84 problem scenarios, and they range from things like consumer problems, problems with lawyers, economic problems, debt problems, things like that. Six of the problems are the ones that we're dealing with, which is consumer problems. Threshold language was used to encourage respondents to report only problems they considered to be serious and difficult to resolve. Respondents were also asked about actions taken in response to the problem, consequences of experiencing problems, types of adequacy of assistance received, and connection between problems and the cost related to experiencing the problem. So, like I mentioned, there was 84 problem scenarios, and of the ones that were considered consumer problems, we have them listed here. So, as you can see, the most experienced consumer problems are spending a large amount of money on a purchase without getting what was paid for. Also, spending money for repairs or renovations that were poorly done, and then serious problems with bill or invoice comes next. But there's also spending money for a service and not getting what was paid for, safety issues with the purchase, and insurance claims being rejected. And you can see the percentages there if you want to take a look. So out of all of the participants in the survey that experienced a consumer problem, or not a consumer problem, any type of legal problem, those who experience a consumer problem actually represent a large proportion, 24.2%, as we could see here. And it's actually one of the largest groups in comparison to the other ones. So we can go on.
Okay.
And that's you.
So as you can see here, Most Canadians who experience a consumer problem take one or more steps to resolve them, although that very rarely involves actually accessing the formal legal system. Most Canadians with consumer problem who try to resolve their problems contacted the other party to do so, in this case, the merchant. Many contacted their friends, about 41.6%, but very few contacted a lawyer or an outside organization. The stat there is a little bit wrong. It's actually supposed to read 69.5% of Canadians in the sample resolve their consumer problems, which might look like a good thing. But as we can see here, a very substantial number of people who resolved their consumer problems weren't particularly satisfied with the resolution, although a lot of people did admit that they kind of moved on after the fact. Yeah, I'm sure that we've all had experiences with that. When it comes to the legal consciousness of consumers, those without a consumer problem were more likely to agree that the justice system in Canada is fair. And this was true across all demographics, which we were a bit surprised by, with one exception, as you'll see at the bottom. Those with consumer problems and with higher levels of education are much more likely to agree that the justice system in Canada is fair relative to those with a lower level of education, typically below college. This relationship is constant regardless of income, although respondents in the highest income brackets are more likely to agree with the prompt that the legal system is fair than those in the lowest income brackets. And again, when looking at ethnicity, there wasn't really very much diversity. The only exception to that, and it was a big exception, were First Nation respondents, who almost invariably thought that the legal system was less fair, less likely to produce just results, etc. The only problem with that is, unfortunately, we had a very low number of respondents, so we can't necessarily say whether this is statistically significant, although my intuition is that it probably says something important. So when it comes to our conclusions, most of the respondents only undertook a relatively informal step of contacting the other party to try to resolve their issues, in this case, again, going to the merchant. A good percentage of individuals seemed willing to lump their problem rather than taking all the steps necessary to resolve the difficulty to their satisfaction. This isn't necessarily surprising, given that respondents who did manage to resolve their consumer problems nonetheless saw the result as unfair. Also unsurprising, given that most people seem to be able to carry on a normal life after dealing with a consumer problem of one sort or another. Very few individuals accessed the formal legal system to try to resolve these issues, even though they were considered to be legal issues by most. And this is quite striking when you consider that consumer problems are apparently the single largest, quote-unquote, legal issue that most Canadians face. Another conclusion that we reach is that demographics don't seem to really matter very much in determining how people conceive and respond to their consumer problems, whether they regard them as legal or not. We found that the biggest single indicator about people's perception of the legal system was based on income and education, but again, these were very slight variations. It's nothing really all that noteworthy. And again, this isn't entirely surprising, at least to us, when you consider the market-oriented nature of consumer problems. Again, this is just conjecture. And again, the one exception to this were First Nations respondents who generally experienced more problems than people within other ethnicities and were far more skeptical about the fairness of the legal system than their peers. Personally, I think that this is where we might be able to be willing to do a bit more further research because there seems to be an interesting issue here. But again, we can't really say anything conclusive about that at this point.
Do you have to hold the mic?
Oh.
Well, he has the mic on.
Yeah. I'm well equipped here, practical Iron Man at this point. It's very difficult to conjecture about how to assist Canadians in resolving their consumer problems based upon this, despite the fact that they seem to occur quite frequently. There are services available that don't involve accessing the formal legal system. For instance, residents in Ontario, where we're both from, have rights under the Consumer Protection Act, which they can access by filing a complaint with the Ministry of Government and Consumer Services. Respondents can also contact the Better Business Bureau, human rights commissions in some cases, depending on what the consumer problem is. And in many cases, the costs associated with this are quite minimal, and we're not exactly sure why fewer people don't tend to access the resources. Again, an area for further research. And could it be determined by consumer culture? This is, again, one of the conjectures that we formulated. Do people feel that when you make a purchase, you're kind of committing yourself not to taking this issue too far? Again, a lot of things that we're trying to consider as we move forward with this data. Thank you very much.
Thank you for this nice presentation.
I think this is the first time I ever finished on time.
congratulations.
Yeah.
Now I'll give the floor to Ann Wilcock, if you want to make the first comments or to ask the first questions.
Thanks, you want me to use the microphone?
Yes. Okay. We'll see if it makes any difference. Thank you very much. I think this was a really interesting way to start our day. I think it was a very interesting presentation, and I commend you for working on such a huge survey of Canadian consumers. I think that's phenomenal.
It's keeping me well employed, believe me.
I can well imagine, especially when they're done by telephone. I don't know if you did them all personally, but...
This would be year 10 of my PhD if I had been on that.
Well, I mean, I'm sure York would be happy to hold on to you for a while. But I do have a few questions for you. Can I just perhaps throw out the questions, and then maybe you can address some of the ones that have some traction, if any of them do, which I hope some will. I wondered if you made any attempt to be representative of Canadian consumers in this research. I mean, how did you select your sample of 3264, or whatever the number was? Can I throw out a number of these questions, and then perhaps you can pick up on the ones you think are useful? My second question is, consumers were asked if they had experienced a problem that was serious and difficult to resolve, and I think you said in the past 3 years. And 3 years is a long time. I wonder about memory decay and whether consumers truly remember the details of the issues they had. And the question of serious, I mean, serious to me may be very different from serious to you. I'm not sure whether you defined that or not. You broke down the percentage of consumer problems, I think, into about 5 or 6 different categories on one of your tables, which I think was really interesting. But it would be interesting to see if you could actually pursue some of the bigger ones there individually to see if, you know, consumers thought that that was fair or not. I'll talk faster. Demographics. You said it didn't seem to make any difference, but I mean, I did a survey of 10,000 consumers years ago, and we actually did cluster analysis, and we were able to cluster Canadian consumers into so many groups across the country. We did it on the basis of postal code. I don't know if you have that data or not, but it was a very interesting thing we were able to do, and it led to some very interesting policy. One last comment. Okay. Sorry, I'm an academic. I teach in the quality management area, and one of the big things that we talk about there is how quickly issues are resolved and how expensive the issue is in terms of ultimate consumer satisfaction. And I wonder if the speed of resolution would make a difference. I'll leave it there.
I'll take the ethnicity question and the memory decay one.
Okay. Okay.
What?
Yeah,
I was going to
say,
because we did
the reality is
thank
that,
you.
Trevor Farrell and I did all of the data collection and that is done. So from that point of view, really, I gave them the data set.
Yeah. Thank you.
But the relevant point being that it actually is a representative sample, but it's part of a broader international phenomena of that's been going on for about the last 15 years about doing legal needs surveys. And some of the design is actually to allow for comparisons to about 8 other countries. And that's something we're not talking about here. But that's that. So the things like the 3 years, the some of the categories of problems, even the language of justiciable problems, which probably some people know, Hazel Genn coined in the late 1990s. There's a certain kind of broader context, because obviously the survey is not just about consumer problems, it's about other types of problems. Just to save them.
A good supervisor always has your back, right?
Okay.
I just wanted to speak to the ethnicity point. I'm very interested in looking at your data results because I was the one who actually ran a lot of those tests, and I was certain that we were going to see a lot more variation. Part of the problem was how the question was phrased. There's a lot of different sub-identities to the ones that we actually ran, which primarily tended to be blocked into large and fairly ambiguous categories, like do you label as of European descent, British descent, et cetera, et cetera. So if we ran more tests to try to look at this in more detail, it's possible that we would find more variation along the lines with what you were talking about, but I'm not sure. And as to your second question about memory decay, right now we're running tests on family problems. And what's interesting is there's far less variation when it comes to the priority that people accord to family problems and the way that they seek to resolve those. So what I suspect is that you might be right. People might forget how they experienced this problem, what steps they took to resolve it, accord it more or less significance over time, whereas there seems to be more constancy with this type of problem. So again, we have to do more comparisons to really assess if this is interesting, but hopefully we'll be able to get back to you on that soon. But very good question. Thank you.
Okay, we'll have to stop here. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Sorry, I didn't want to travel this way without letting you know that our ministry now gathers demographic data, and I would be interested in talking to you further about how ethnicity and age and income levels do affect consumer problems. Since January of 2013, we've been gathering demographic data through our call center. That's a sample of 62,000 consumers that have contacted us since January 2013. We have 15,000 demographic records, and we're starting to data mine that. And I can tell you that most people who contact us are seniors. And your data in terms of where the problems are, 33% of our problems are home renovations. And that's an area that we're really focusing on. So I'd be interested in talking to you further. I'm based in Toronto. Please feel free to come and talk to me after.
Something that I'm grateful for is that when it comes to the family problems data, people's experiences tend to spike around 50 and then they decline when they become seniors, but we found much the same thing when it came to consumer problems, that it seems to be accented upwards with age.
Thank you very much.